Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we've got another great show tonight. I have a couple announcements to make before we start the show. To be sure and check into the site and sign up for the newsletter at eseti.org. It's free. And when you sign up for the newsletter, we can let you know about all the latest events. Some of the events, we've been in a holding period and we haven't posted them, so it's best to either sign up for the newsletter. They're not on the website yet. We're a little slow on getting things up on the website. So it's best to go sign up for the newsletter or send us a call or an email or whatever. And everything is on the site at eseti.org. There's a few other things going on. We had, I wanted to mention last night, we have a wonderful group here from Canada that's down visiting. And we went outside, and I went outside probably, I think it was about 9:30, and went in right before 10, and saw over 20 UFOs flying overhead and doing some very large UFOs. And we probably won't have time to bring them on the show to talk about it, so you just have to take our word for it. And these responded, they powered up, they, you know, we were shooting lasers up at them, so the activity's back, and it was slow for a while. There wasn't much going on, but I think it was mainly due to the weather, and there was nobody out to play with them. So the field was pretty much vacant just due to the rain and the snow, but the skies have been clear the past couple of days, and we've had just incredible activity. That being said, we've got a great show. We have Dr. Rita Louise, and she's a medical intuitive. And she's a 20-year veteran of the alternative health field. She's the host of Just Energy Radio, and she's located in Dallas, Texas. All alternative health and medical intuition services are offered by her in person or by the phone. Her medical intuition practice also offers solutions to problems that might be found resulting in harmony, balance, strength, and vitality. So we'll get into that real soon. There's a few other things. I think I'm going to put them on hold and just bring Dr. Rita Louise on the show. Are you with us?
I am. Hi, James. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show. Can you give people a little, you know, there's some people, I think most of our listeners are pretty educated. For those who aren't and don't really know what a medical intuitive does, maybe you could give us a brief description.
Sure. A medical intuitive is someone who's able to assess what's going on in the physical body on, you know, and this is kind of redundant, intuitive levels. You know, and I like just making things real simple. And a medical intuitive is basically a psychic who talks about your health.
Mm-hmm. And you're
and that
able
makes
to,
it pretty basic.
You're able to scan the body, basically, and you know, check out what's going on, you know, with people's health issues.
Correct. I mean, there are people that kind of do it in different levels. Some people just look at the aura and the chakras and kind of reflect back in that way. When I'm working with people, I kind of joke around and say I have like these x-ray glasses, and I can look into your body and go, okay, this is, you know, what I see going on with this organ or this body system. But in addition to that, one of the things that I really like about medical intuition is that you can also, I mean, depending on the practitioner, because we all have different gifts, and one of the gifts that I bring to the table is I'm able to help people understand what thoughts and emotions are actually causing their health concern in the first place, and then help them to address what actually set up that pattern of dysfunction in the first place.
So basically the body is just a hard copy of, you know, your mental and emotional body and even your astral body, I guess. There'd be all kinds of issues that could, and you know, bring discomfort or dis-ease to the body.
Correct. I mean, there's definitely kind of a hierarchy of how the body manifests, starting, you know, once it moves through the causal body, which is the furthest out or the highest vibrating. You know, that's usually pretty good, but once it moves into the mental body and our ego gets attached to it, you know, it just can become twisted and distorted, move into the emotional body, which is a slower vibration, add our emotional energy to it, and then finally move through the astral body where it gets form, and ultimately manifest in the physical body as disease. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a book called Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4, which really talks about that whole process. Because a lot of people will say, well, you know, disease is because there's a distortion in, you know, a thought or a belief, but no one really talks about the mechanism from a very energetic point of view. And so that's what I bring to the table with that, is looking at what's going on inside of us that could make this happen.
Yeah, it seems like most doctors go, they look at the body more as a mechanical apparatus and try to fix this thing here or there, or even suppress the symptom. And, you know, rather than look in the holistic way to where, you know, what was the root cause of what people are experiencing.
Oh, very much so. And what I see with people is that the doctors will go and, quote unquote, fix something, but it doesn't take care of what the original cause was, and so they'll just manifest it in a different way. So a very common example is people will have their gallbladders removed. I love talking about gallbladders. Mm-hmm. And so in Chinese medicine, for example, the gallbladder has to do with our ability to plan and execute an activity. And so when you're working with someone who has had their gallbladder removed, either they can't plan their way out of a paper bag, or they're excellent planners but always end up having life situations that interfere with their ability to carry out the plan. Either they can't muster up the energy to move forward with it, or they're just in life situations. They're in a marriage that doesn't let them achieve their goals, you know, or they have children, or they have elderly parents that they're caring for. And so if these other issues aren't resolved, that energy will just move someplace else. You know, it'll move into the liver, it'll move into the stomach, and just manifest as a different disease.
Mm-hmm. Oops. I'm wondering about there's other causes. It seems like that also, like environmental factors and things like that. Do you ever take that into account?
Yes, very much so. You know, it really depends on what kind of thing the person is coming in with, you know, what their symptoms are. I mean, because sometimes it is just they have allergies. Now, you could go into the whole, well, what is the psychology of why they're creating the allergies in the first place? And, you know, sometimes I will, and sometimes I'll just say, well, you know, you have an allergy. You know, if you fall and you break your leg, you fell and you break your leg. Now, there are people that, you know, are of the belief, well, there's some reason why you manifested that into your life, and that's not something that I delve into as far as my practice. I mean, there might be people that actually will look at why you chose to manifest certain external things into your life, but I don't. You know, it's like, okay, well, mm-hmm. And then, people will come. I mean, it's interesting. People will come, and they've broken their leg, and it's been, you know, they've gone to the doctor, that, you know, they had it repaired, but the repair job wasn't that great. And so now they're experiencing other kinds of symptoms, and they want to find out what they can do to fix it, which, you know, if something comes through organic, you know, you develop reflux, you develop high blood pressure, you know, you develop these things, you can work with the person to have them back themselves back out of the physical body, theoretically. If you break your leg is broke, you know, and so if you're experiencing secondary symptoms from a broken leg, working on your emotional space, although great, is not necessarily going to make that leg feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had an experience where it was quite interesting. I had a couple, one where I was deathly ill, and when I'd get around this certain type of grass, they call it bumble grass, that grows next to creeks or rivers or whatever. And it would just, it was strange. Everything would just go off, and I couldn't figure out why. And it was just, it was affecting me, you know, in a pretty intense way. And so finally I just sat and I meditated on it, and when it was going off, and I said, what is this trying to tell me? And all of a sudden, I popped into a vision, you know, of a past life of being actually riding a chariot, being stabbed in the back and thrown off the chariot into this bumble grass where I just laid there, you know, dying with a knife in my back. And as soon as I cleared that experience, that past life experience, the allergy went away.
Cool.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. It was, you know, I see a lot of people that are, you know, deathly allergic to cats. And I've always had a theory that maybe they were thrown to the lions in the past, you know, as a Christian, or ran into a tiger, you know, in the jungle or something like that. And so it triggers some major response, you know, when they get around cats.
And that's very possible. And there are some people that will look at that as part of their practice. I don't do that as part of my practice because I don't have the tools to help somebody clear a past life issue as part of, you know, my repertoire of healing tools.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
And my personal feeling is, like, you went into meditation and you got your own answer. And it's a big, really different, because when you get your own answer, you're able to get into your own emotional energy, and you're able to get back into that causative chemistry in the body, excuse me, and then use that to help you clear it. It's a big difference if I'm just telling you, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so yeah. I usually will refer to someone who does past life regression work that also will do healing on the past life to help the person get back into the energetic space of where the issue came in the first place so that it can be cleared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many levels to these healing practices. I noticed you also have a book, Dark Angels, An Insider's Guide to Ghosts, Spirits, and Attached Entities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to talk about that. That's a field that I've been involved in quite a bit, and maybe hear some of the stories that you've experienced where people have entities, you know, influencing their lives and what those influences might be.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going, okay, there have been quite a few. Let's see.
Yeah.
I think one of the, I'm going to say, most remarkable ones, I mean, that I just shake my head at, is I had a client come for a session, and her complaint, I mean, she came for a medical intuition evaluation, and her complaint was bulimia. Well, from an intuitive point of view, it's not really like an organ. There's not, that I could think of in my little doctor brain, where I could look in the body to start assessing from a functional level what was going on. I mean, there's definitely more of a psycho-spiritual aspect to the bulimia.
Uh-huh.
With that said, I was just kind of making small talk as my brain was going, well, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do with this person. And I asked her, I said, well, how much do you eat? And she said, 5 Big Macs. And you have to understand, I'm a pretty thin person, and I don't eat very much.
Uh-huh.
And so my jaw kind of dropped. And so then I just kind of joked around. It's like, well, was that with the fries and the Coke? She goes, oh, yeah. And then I asked her, okay, well, is that all day, throughout the course of a week? You know, what are we talking here? She goes, oh, no, that's for lunch. Again, jaw drops. And I go, well, what about other meals? She goes, well, you know, a box or two of cereal for breakfast, maybe a dozen eggs. And I go, and then what? She goes, well, then I go in the bathroom and throw it all up. And if you saw the person, she was not obese. I mean, a little chunky, a little overweight, you know, maybe lose 20 pounds, and you would not know that she had any kind of issue at all, weight issue at all. And so she was just kind of talking to me, and she goes, yeah, I had gone to this one psychic, and she said, well, you know, you're possessed, which immediately set off flags. And I was like,
yeah,
okay, well, I would not even think to start looking for an entity in her space. And I stopped, and I looked, and there was this young teenage male, late teens, early 20s, that was in her space. And he was very hungry all the time. And when I say in their space, I do a lot of conferences, ghost hunting conferences, where I speak on ghosts and attached entities. And you have ghost hunting people that are always very concerned that if they go on an investigation, they're going to go home with an entity, which isn't the case. And we can talk about the whole attachment process if you want. But when I say that they're in your space, what I'm saying is that they're in the auric field, your personal space. Mm-hmm. And once they're in that space, we make the assumption that it's us. And we make the assumption that it's our energy and our thoughts and our feelings. And so she had the feeling or the belief that she was hungry. And so she was satisfying that belief, which really wasn't hers, but didn't want to take in all those calories. And so that was creating the secondary behavior of throwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And within the session, I mean, you know, you have those miracle sessions. We did some work and did some clearing on the entity and kind of opened up a portal to the light and brought in. It was interesting. I tried to bring through his mother, which he did not want to go to. And so his brother came through and reassured him that it was okay, and he went off with his brother, and you could physically feel the portal close again, and our session ended. And I'm like, okay, well, that was kind of cool. 2 weeks later, I got a call from the woman. She goes, after the session, my eating habits totally returned to normal, and they have not gone back.
Great. Yeah, it's interesting. People, we were having a talk just a little while ago with that. We do a lot of that process-oriented therapy and things of that nature, and it's amazing how people don't even know, like, these discarnate spirits, they still have a mental and emotional body. They don't have a physical body, and we pick up their thoughts and their emotions and everything else. And so many people aren't aware of what is in their auric field and what is influencing them. They just think it's their own thoughts and their own feelings. And a lot of times, those have a negative side effect to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, usually when they are hanging around, let me even back that piece of the conversation up. You know, when people die, most will go into the light and do their life review or whatever you do on the other side. And then if they want, they'll come back and visit. And I call those people ghosts because they're just coming back and visiting. But then there are the ones that don't go into the light and they don't have that life review process. And so, you know, they're more like earthbound spirits. And then depending on that group of people, they might choose to get into your auric field and attach to you. But usually those entities, I mean, I think that they're worse than ghosts because our energy space is our space. And so once they decide to get inside of it and start manipulating, you know, they're manipulating. And they're trying to control our energy to their ends. And I think they're worse than a ghost that hangs around the house or hangs around the location. Mm-hmm. Because they have motivation as opposed to just hanging around and bugging people.
Yeah, I know a clairvoyant. We used to go into bars and she would look up and she'd go, oh, my God, let's get out of here. And I said, yeah, I'm all for it. And I go, what's up? And she goes, oh, there's entities hanging all over here waiting to get their fix, you know, vicariously, you know, their alcohol fix vicariously through somebody else. And and a lot of people with real strong addictions or attachments to, you know, it might be attachment to a house or some other addiction. They try to have them taken care of vicariously through other people. And I've seen that with a lot of times with alcoholics. When you're doing a counseling with alcoholics, there are some real sticky entities on them that that really don't want to leave. They don't want to, you know, move off or move into the light because that's their source. You know, that's their source of feeding their addiction.
Oh, and the ones that are attached to addicted people. And when I say addicted, we're not just talking alcohol. There's drugs, there's sex, there's gambling, I mean, whatever. I mean, I actually had a client. Well, actually, I didn't work with this young man. I worked with his mom, who had a computer addiction, a computer slash conspiracy theory kind of addiction that would get into his space and have him research and research and research and research all this conspiracy theory stuff because he fed off the paranoia. That was kind of interesting. And then spirit works wonders. I kept telling the mom, it's like, you need to turn off his internet connection. I mean, he wasn't working because he was so engrossed in his addiction. And I kept telling her, it's like, you need to turn off his internet connection or have him turn it off, which she knew he wouldn't do. Well, since he wasn't working, they disconnected his internet. Oops.
Yeah.
And within a couple of days of that happening, he called his mom for the first time in months.
Yeah, I always say, don't worry about all the conspiracy theories, because just accept them as fact and you're done with it. You know? Because most of them are, they're not even theories, you know. It's like you know, so it's a no-brainer. You don't have to keep searching, just accept the obvious, you know, that things are messed up and there's some pretty crazy people out there running things. So you know, that's a no-brainer. You know, you don't have to keep researching it, just look at the manifestation, you know, that's happening on the planet. The the other, have you ever run into anything, any of these other strange things, you know, like grays or reptilians or anything else attached to people?
I have to think. I mean, I have seen people that were great. Well, not great. You know, it's interesting. I mean, there are people that I've done session work with that have been reptilians. They've been this, like, praying mantis-looking thing. But not necessarily, now I have to think about that a second, not necessarily attached to them, but I've had weird stuff. I had this one guy that I called the devil guy because he just had a body that looked like a flame, you know, kind of like the Human Torch. That was weird. He was trying to get my client to go with him. That was the only, you know, they don't really speak English or American or human. They don't speak human. And so it's a little hard communicating with them. And the only thing I can get from this guy is he wanted her to go with him, and he wanted her to go with him now. And he just kept repeating that same thing over and over and over again. And then it finally dawned on me what he was actually saying. And I asked my client, have you tried to commit suicide? Twice. That was how much control he was trying to exhibit over. He wanted her to go, and he wanted her to go now. Not when this lifetime ended, but now.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit. I've seen where people, I used to say it's very, very hard to commit suicide on your own. You usually have multiple entities cheering you on to do it and you know, creating that extreme depression necessary. There's so many levels to that, and we've had people come up here that you know, were one step out of being committed. You know, they had a few days before they had to turn themselves in, and we cleared them up and taught them how to clear unseen negative influences. And I'm still getting postcards from them from Hawaii, you know, saying they're having just an incredible life. And, you know, thanks for the tools, basically.
That's cool. I mean, I think the strangest one, I mean, they're all weird, but probably the weirdest one is I had this one woman who had this, and tell me if you've ever seen this, because I've never seen this before or after, but it was like she had these giant, like, amoeba things all over her, on her skin, and she was suffering from, like, the muscles deteriorating, like, in pockets under her skin. I mean, there was actually a physiological issue going on. But there was, I mean, I was doing clearing work on her, just trying to get these things off, but it was disgusting because they, like, wanted to come on me, and it was like, over there.
I had one experience here where there was a man that came here. Basically, the doctors couldn't do anything for him, and he said he just was going to come here to die. And we're not set up for that. You know, we don't have the facilities for that type of thing. And they tried everything on him. And the same thing, his skin was just breaking out everywhere on his skin. And, you know, big, you know, boils, sores, everything. And they would give him these creams and different things just to kind of placate the problem or whatever. And they couldn't do anything for him. And they just basically said, well, you know, go find a good place to die because there's nothing we can do. And it was kind of sad. And there was a woman that cared a lot for him, and she brought him up here. And so we started looking into it and what was going on. And then we saw that we traced it back to he was one of the guys that actually gave the smallpox blankets to the Native Americans. And and he had some heavy karma. And in this life, he was working on their behalf, doing everything he could to solve, you know, problems and issues they're having, getting rights back and everything else. That was his whole mission all this life, because it was the guilt carried over for what he did in the past, you know, with the smallpox and the blankets. And so it was a karmic thing, you know, that was happening with him. And so when we figured that out and figured what happened there, we, you know, welcomed in the other beings that were involved in retribution or whatever, and cleared them. And he just went out and did some major prayers and heartfelt prayers, and, you know, just bawling from the depths of his soul and saying, I'm sorry, you know, and trying to make amends. And it was amazing. And the only thing I mixed up for him is I took some olive oil and comfrey and just mixed it together in a little salve and gave it to him. I said, here, just see if this will help, you know, with some of the lesions you have. And they put it on, and like in a couple of days, his skin looked totally normal. It was unbelievable. I know it wasn't the oil, you know, that did it. You know, it was definitely, you know, making peace with that incident. But, I mean, they were after him in this life. I mean, they crossed over. They knew who he was, and they were after him in this lifetime. So he had to go make peace with that situation. And that was one of the most extreme ones, where I saw somebody actually, you know, their flesh was basically falling off and no known cause. I mean, he had every doctor you could imagine working on him, and they could not come up with any explanation for what, you know, for what he was going through, and they just kept giving painkillers, basically.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad both ways. I feel very sad for the Native American, what happened to them. You know, that was, you know, being part Native American myself, I had two parts of me. One part of me was saying, you deserve it, you know, and the healer part of me is going, no, I can't think that way. You know, I can't go there.
But whether the guy knew he was giving blankets with smallpox, you know, it's yet another one of those, like, government conspiracy theories. It's like, here's a humanitarian thing. Give these blankets to the Native Americans.
Yeah. No, he was fully aware of it. That's what came through, is that they were fully aware of what they were doing, and it was an eradication program, you know, that was going on. Mm-hmm. And that's why he had such a heavy karmic repercussion from it, because it wasn't an innocent, you know, mistake. It was an intentional thing that happened. But that's about all I've seen as far as the I see sometimes when I see astral beings, they'll just come as a dark blob of energy, and sometimes they take a form and I'll see the being. Sometimes they don't. That might be, you know, what you're seeing. I don't know. I haven't seen these amoebas, but there's I can't think of his name. There's a guy that actually created this special form of photography where he was filming these amoeba type things flying around. And he said they were feeding on animals and people and things.
It was the weirdest thing that I had ever seen in my entire life, and, you know, one of the definitely rarer ones. I mean, it's much more common to have somebody take on a humanoid form. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then there are the other weird things that you encounter with people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've encountered a lot of slugs and snakes and buggy, weird things. The amoebas, not so much. And that was, you know, I just can't really forget about it because there wasn't just like you just pull this one thing out or two things out. I mean, they were just everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I remember a Star Trek episode where they had
that was where the whole thing came from. It's like I'm working on her and I'm looking at this thing, and then, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm working, I mean, I'm very visual and I will get images of things that are kind of unrelated but related. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that one Next Generation episode and like Riker has this like amoeba thing sucking on his brain and everything. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, there are things out there that, from what I've seen, I don't put anything aside anymore. I just, I have my interesting box, you know, and if I haven't experienced before and I don't know about it, it goes into that box until it makes itself known. But I don't discount anything anymore. And, you know, what really helped me to realize a major breakthrough is that one of the master teachers I studied with, he said that, you know, imagination is real on the level of imagination. So why does it have to be physical to be real? And I started thinking about that, and I go, you know, that's right. If you can think it, if you believe it, it's real. You know, your imagination is real in the mental planes, you know, where everything manifests instantly. So I don't discount anything anymore.
Oh, I don't either. And a lot of times I'll just shake my head and go, okay, so this is really weird. So I'm just going to I'm just reporting it. I'm not making this up. I'm just reporting what I'm getting. But most of the time, I mean, especially if you bring in, I mean, I really like bringing in the psycho-spiritual part. Is that people totally get it. You know, it's like, okay, this is what I'm seeing or what I'm picking up, and this is how you would experience it in your life. And they're like, okay, yeah, that works. You know, so they can validate the impact of what is going on. And so even though they might think, okay, well, you're a weirdo because you're talking about this entity thing. I have another story. I had this woman who came because she had a lot, I'm going to say panic attacks, a lot of terror. And her questions was she wanted to know if her dad had her stepdad had sexually assaulted her. And I started looking at her space, and I kind of started laughing, you know, because I'm looking and I'm like, okay, what's your dad's name? And I'm going, no, I feel like even though he was kind of weird and a bit distant, I don't get that from you at all. And she goes, well, you know, but I would feel him standing by my bed at night. And I'm like, okay, shift gears here. And I go, okay, so is there someone that's coming around? And I see this guy, and he's got this, like, rumpled-up trench coat on. And, you know, kind of the image he's giving me is that he's, like, a flasher guy, you know, but just like a homeless flasher guy. And I look at him, and the next thing he does is he bends over and, quote-unquote, looks up her dress. And I'm like, okay, so she's got a pervert in her space. That wasn't quite the word I used, but for on air, that works real well. And so how do you relate this to a person that calls you up because they have terror, that you're not quite sure where they are on their spiritual path, that you can even approach the concept of entities? And so I asked her, I said, do you wear dresses? And she goes, no. And I go, well, why not? She goes, because I feel really uncomfortable and really vulnerable when I wear them. And I said, well, I think I can tell you why. And so I tell her about this guy, and she kind of tripped out, but everything that I was sharing with her about the dynamic that was going on, she could totally relate to, which was what this guy was, you know, violating, literally violating her space.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting. Then it turned out that she actually had more than one, you know, and we started working on it, and, you know, and then people trip out, and they're like, you know, they don't want to get out of their own healing. They don't want to create their own healing, which I don't really understand.
Yeah, we've had, I had an experience when I was in Santa Cruz, California, down there, and there was a woman that came to me, and she was talking about how she just was out in front of this hotel and got deathly ill and very sick, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. And so we did a clearing, and I told her, I said, you've got this entity attached to you, and he's very morbid energy. I said, he's got no self-worth, real, drug energy, like addicted energy, and you're feeling his energy, and your energies are so unmatched, that, and she's ultra-sensitive is a problem. She's over-subjective, so she was just a sucker to anything that came in. And so we removed this entity, and she got well instantly. And she goes, wow, that was interesting, you know. And so she went back home and told her husband. And he goes, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. You know, you just believe what he said. So power of mind, you know, you believed it, so that's why you got well. And then what was interesting after that is that he got his film back, where he was taking pictures of her in front of this old abandoned hotel, and here's this guy standing right over her, and you could see different levels to him, which was quite interesting. And clear as a bell, you could see his face. And so the husband took the picture, and he went down to the police department and showed him the picture of the guy's face, and he said, anybody die in that building? And he said, yeah, a young man, transient, died there of a drug overdose. And they said, that's him. That's exactly what his face looks like. Yeah, so
that's
so
cool.
You've got total verification. you have total verification all the way through on that one. But I love it when the skeptics, you know, have their world turned upside down, you know, and they have the photo, and they have, you know, the experience, and everything is cataloged and written down, and then they just go, you know, what do you make out of it after that?
Well, it's like I am fairly recently married or remarried. And my husband, when we first, well, I don't want to say when we first started dating, but pretty early in the relationship, he would get these migraines. And so I would say to him, you know, do you want me to work on you? So a little history, he was a medic in the military. He worked in healthcare for years and years. And he was like, yeah, right, you're going to do that, like, woo-woo stuff on me. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. And so I wouldn't do anything. Well, one day he had a really, really bad migraine. And I'm like, do you want me to work on you? And he goes, sure, why not? And one of the things that I saw was there were a couple of different things going on. I mean, he had this giant, I'm going to say, knot at the back, the base of his skull, you know, right at the top of the cervical bones. The cranial bones were compressed down because of that, and so there was a circulation issue going on. And there was a couple of other things going on, but those were the big ones. And so I worked on relieving the pressure of the cranial bones and tried to work on the muscles, even though they were really tight and were not moving as well as I would have liked them to. Now, you have to understand, I'm sitting in my chair, he's sitting in his chair. We were sitting out on our back porch on, you know, little outdoor furniture. You know, and I adjusted his spine energetically, just kind of waving my hands around, and I worked on his liver, and I worked on his gallbladder, and just kind of cleaned stuff up, and gave him a little tune-up, straightened up his energy, you know, gave him a new grounding cord, fixed his aura, did a little chakra cleanse, just, I worked on him for about 15 minutes, you know, but I was getting enough released happening and enough shifting happening that I was like, okay, you know, you're done. He's looking at me. When I do energy work, I yawn a lot. And as part of that yawning, my eyes water and my nose runs. So I'm just like, it sounds much worse than that. Between the yawning and just like this major runny nose thing going on, I didn't have Kleenex, you know, and so I'm just like wiping the tears off my face. And so I stopped and I'm like, so how are you feeling? And he goes, well, you know, I'm still sore, but, and he stopped and he goes, but I feel better. And then 2 seconds later he goes, placebo effect. So placebo effect went on for, I don't know, another couple of months, except, you know, that he would miraculously feel better. Mm-hmm. And then one day he was at work, and he texted me and said, you know, I'm starting to get a migraine. And this was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm working, doing a bunch of other stuff. So about 9:30, I had a break, and I said, you know, let me check in on him. I'm going to spend a little bit of time working on him. So I spent, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes working on him. Well, when he came home from work, I love these stories. When he came home from work, he goes, you know, that headache was getting really bad, but around 9:30, it just started going away. Did you work on me?
Did you tell him that was a placebo? Should I tell him, no, you just believed I did. Mess back with him. I've seen a lot of times with headaches and migraines and things like that. I've known people that have a couple things going on. One, they have a real resistance. They're kind of hard-headed and have real resistance to any new ideas or resistance to their own higher consciousness and energy. And I've also seen, too, is that people, again, will have a hitchhiker, like, especially we were talking earlier about the grays, you know, they'll feel it seems like the gray energy or the gray mental frequencies or whatever you want to call them don't sync up very well with human consciousness. And that's one of my things is when I feel there's something around like that, I'll start getting a headache. And if it's on the left side, it's usually feminine, or on the right side, it's, and I'll do a clearing and move these energies off, and all of a sudden it just goes away instantly. And sometimes it's just entities that aren't syncing up with my frequency or my brain waves or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's amazing how fast, you know, that'll come on and then how fast it'll go away as soon as we do the clearing.
Well, I mean, my belief is that once you become aware that there's something that's not you in your space, it's very easy to get rid of it. The biggest part is stopping and going, oh, wait a minute, is that me or not? And using whatever kind of tools you have to, you know, make the separation from me and whatever that is and go over there.
I know a lot of other symptoms are depression. A lot of accidents will happen. You know, we had all crazy. So we have stuff where, you know, you get doors get locked behind you and things start falling, you know, falling off the shelves by themselves and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And a lot of times when that starts happening or anytime you don't like what you're feeling, if you just sit down and do a clearing and it's amazing what that will do and get on with your project. You know, it's better than having a roof fall on you or, you know, or a buzzsaw chasing you around the room or something like that. You know, just do the clearings ahead of time.
Oh, very much so. I mean, doing work on yourself every day just kind of keeps you upbeat and revitalized in the general sense of the word. I mean, you know, what's going on the planet right now is just so hard for people. You know,
just,
you know, there's what's going on in your own personal life, and I don't know about you, but it just seems like life has gotten, I'm going to say, more complicated. You know, you try to do one thing, and or you think you're going to do one thing, but that's really not what you're going to end up doing, and so there's really this call about going with the flow, whatever that happens to be, and not being you know, I hate to say this, but not really making any plans that you're so locked into that you can't change in the last minute because they seem like they're fluctuating all the time.
Yeah, definitely. We are going through that ninth wave, you know, which is unity mm-hmm. consciousness. And it's a time compression where things are manifesting really fast. And what I'm seeing, too, is that you have not just one opportunity. You have multiple opportunities all coming up at the same time. And that sometimes we have to set our ego aside and the plans that we made. You know, there's that old saying, you know, man plans and God laughs. Because, you know, our ego plans are not really what's going to be manifesting or what's going to be happening. So it is getting interesting. It's just everything I've seen is moving so fast. And I have, great empathy for those that are not understanding this process because it does seem like they're just getting hit by a brick and they're trying to hold on to the old world and the old program and the old structures, and they're all unraveling.
Well, and then holding on to even the plans that you make, and, you know, I'll give you an example. My husband and I had plans to do a bunch of stuff today, and we were going to go, they have this big Renaissance fair thing, you know, where people dress up in all the costumes, and our plan was to go there tomorrow. However, my husband got an abscess tooth yesterday, and we spent half the day at the dentist today. Uh-huh. And we're not going tomorrow because we don't, you know, in his mind, how can you go to the Renaissance Fair and not get a turkey leg? And he ain't eating any turkey leg tomorrow because he, you know, is still recovering from an abscess tooth. And so I'm just like, okay. I mean, you can't even get upset about it anymore. I think that's the biggest thing is when, you know, all of this stuff is going on, you can't get upset about it. You just have to go, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just
that's
move
what I
along.
I always tell people, you know, I said, I'm just happy anyway, no matter what. I don't have to go do something or be somewhere or whatever to be happy. And so, you know, they go, what do you want to do? And I go, you know, what do you want? We go back and forth. What do you want to do? You know, what makes you happy? I'll go do that with you, you know, because, you know, it's just not important to me. And some things I have no desire to go do, you know, anymore because it's like a different, it's a, you know, a very old program mm-hmm. and that I just don't do anymore. But it is interesting. And that's what I'm seeing. All you can do right now is, you know, go with the flow and don't have any attachment to the outcome. And you know, sometimes if one thing doesn't manifest the way you wanted it, there's usually several other opportunities, you know, right there. And especially now with the new energies coming in and the new frequencies, things are manifesting very, very quickly. And, you know, our lessons are also coming home. You know, I always felt karma's being accelerated as well. You know, as well as, you know, both we're evolving in both directions. Some people are evolving in, they're devolving, you might say, into, you know, total collapse. And some people are evolving into a more spiritual life to live in harmony with each other and the planet. And it doesn't seem like there's any middle road anymore. You're either going to go with this flow or step off the train one way or the other, you know, but the train's moving.
Well, and I don't know that they're de-evolving. I think the word that I choose to use is they're mm-hmm. in total resistance and fear.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's gonna manifest whatever they fear and resist. You know, so.
Well, but then down the road, you know, the universe is gonna come in and whack them up the side of the head with that big old 2x4.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it really is about the whole surrender thing. You can mm-hmm. choose to surrender, or you can choose to get your butt kicked. And the right. sooner you surrender, the smaller the butt kicking is.
mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're not going to have our way anymore. it seems like our soul has got the plan. You know, it's got the reins now. And whatever we're going to be experience is what we need to experience. And And the ego just doesn't really have the reins anymore. So I guess the more we can let go of the reins and let spirit start driving versus our own little monkey minds, the better off we'll be.
Mm-hmm. It just is, you know, a very interesting road. You know, one of the questions, and I think you would find this question interesting. Okay, so there's our higher self, or, you know, that little voice that talks to us or directs us into what our next step is, that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the question I ask myself sometimes is, well, is that my voice? I mean, I've been told it's my voice, but is it my voice? I mean, I know I have these guides over here, but, you know, is there like a whole guide conspiracy theory going on? And they're saying, okay, this is what you need to be doing. I mean, even though it's pretty good, and they haven't really like screwed me over or anything, but it's like, well, what's the motivation and where am I going? And should I really even be listening to you? I mean, you know, in some aspects, I totally know I should be because I'm not getting my butt kicked so much. But but where is that whole thing going? And what's the ultimate direction? Because it's kind of a mystery, and we're giving up our power and we're giving up our control to the voices inside our heads.
Yeah. Yeah, I go by my feelings, basically. I go by my own gut feelings, and I feel whether it's right for me or not. And I have really strong connections with some very, very high beings, and they will advise me. And so far, you know, so good. And you know, they've told me I would be walking through some things that weren't going to be fun. You know, they weren't going to be fun tickets on those rides. But knowing, you know, that it was necessary and knowing the process and also even knowing the outcome made it much easier, although you still had to walk through the process, unfortunately. And and also, unfortunately, it looks like we're running out of time here. So I wanted to give any kind of access information if people wanted to connect with you and you know, receive some of your healing services.
Sure. My primary website, the easiest way to get a hold of me is through my website, www.soulhealer.com. That's soulhealer.com. If people are interested in the radio show, it airs on Fridays from 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time. The webpage for that is www.justenergyradio.com. That's justenergyradio.com. But you can get to that page from the Soul Healer page, and all of the services I offer, all the products that I sell, my books. There's a ton of articles. On the Just Energy site, there's over 4 years' worth of archives that people can access for free. We love free.
Yeah, free works. We do all kinds of free things here, you know. And, you know, it takes the old wind out of some people's sails, you know, when they make all those crazy accusations. But anyway, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the great work, and I guess we'll be talking soon.
Okay. Thanks, James. Thanks for having me. Bye, everybody.
All right. Take care. Well, we're at the end of the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And get out and watch the skies if your skies are clear right now, because it is getting very busy out there. And you know, we just had phenomenal activity last night after a little bit of a break, it seems like. But I think that was mainly due to the weather and us not being out there. And check out the website. Be sure and go to eseti.org and sign up for the newsletter so we can let you know about all the upcoming conferences and workshops and everything else that we'll be doing in the future. So anyway, this is James Gilling signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.